whatever we can every single Sunday to unveil Jesus to you in this place. With everything we do, with everything we preach, with everything we say, we are gospel-centered. It's about the gospel. It's not about giving you a to-do list of a million things to do, but it's about looking at Christ, knowing what He has done, knowing who He has made us to be. And when we look at Him, man, life transformation takes place. So this morning, we're going to do that a little bit again. This morning, we are going to unveil Jesus to you. The title of my message this morning is Siri is not enough. Siri is not enough. Now, some of you are laughing because you know who Siri is. Some of you have never heard of Siri, and you're thinking, is this a new Hebrew word? No. Siri is the lady that speaks on your cell phone. If you have an Apple phone, there's a little button that you can press, and you can ask Siri the most incredible things, and Siri will normally tell you what she thinks and what she does not think. So I'm speaking a little bit this morning about the fact that Siri is not enough. And before I dive into this, I've got a special guest. My mother is here, all the way from somewhere. Good day, mother. Okay, you can sit now. She's like, I just want to stand forever. Okay. Yeah, it's been a long road. I've put lots of years into my mom. What you can see here is a product of my mentoring and my love in her life. And I'm very proud of the mom she's turned out to be. Also, just a quick word. She's staying in our house for a couple of weeks. It's actually more like month and something, but I say weeks. So pray a prayer for my wife. It's going to be interesting times. I will, without doubt. I was looking at couches before my mom arrived because I will be spending time on the couch. I absolutely know it without question, but it's going to be a good time. She's lovely. She makes amazing food. My wife makes good food too, but it's a little bit less. You know, I'm going to say this this morning. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't care. I like the couch. They don't make them like they used to. Boom. Okay. So let's move on here this morning. So we've been speaking about Elijah, and we are not stopping the series this morning, but we are taking a little pit stop, and we are going to be reading out of 1 Kings 22, and we are going to be speaking about a guy called Micaiah this morning. Some of you have never heard of this guy, but this is such a cool story. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through the story. I'm going to make a couple of stops while we read through it, and I'm going to kind of give you just things that have popped out of me. This morning, you're going to hear the gospel according to Mark a little bit, and we're going to get right into it. So, 1 Kings 22, reading from the first verse, and this is what it says. For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, "Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram." So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Okay, so just bear with me for a second here because I'm going to focus a little bit on what he's saying here. I love what he says here about, hey, he basically says to the king, listen, your fight is my fight. Your issues are my issues. He's essentially saying, Jehoshaphat is essentially saying to the king of Israel, yeah, he's saying, hey, listen up, man, I'm with you. I agree with you. This is a problem and we need to solve it. But listen to what he goes on to say here. So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth of Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people is your people, my horses is your people." But listen to this. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, "Shall I go to war against Ramoth of Gilead, or shall I refrain?" So Jehoshaphat says to the king, "I'm not doing another thing until you bring in the counsel, and we need to hear if this is in fact what God is wanting to do." And so he brings in 400 prophets, and listen to this. "Shall I go to war?" And this is what they say. "Go," they answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" And I want to just kind of pause the story right here because we're talking about Micaiah this morning. He's the star of the show. But man, I love this guy, Jehoshaphat, and I love this part of the story. So what stood out for me as I was reading this is, and man, I know none of you do this. This is me. This is how I conduct myself, and it's not good. But I have a tendency in my life to very often only consult God on issues when I have absolutely messed everything up to the point where now I'm desperate. Okay, Google no longer has an answer for me. Everybody has turned their backs on me. I've burnt every bridge. I've made every bad decision. And then I go, okay, God, let's maybe have a little bit of a conversation. I need your help here. What I love about Jehoshaphat in this particular story is that he goes to the king. They have a discussion. And I love how essentially what the king is telling him makes logical sense. It's not like what he's proposing is completely ridiculous or what he's proposing is completely out of the sphere of what they should be doing. He goes to Jehoshaphat and says to him, listen, man, these people are a problem. We need to go to war. I love how Jehoshaphat agrees with the king, but in spite of that, still pushes a pause on the proceedings and says, listen, I am not taking another step unless I know that God is in this, that God is directing this, and that God is guiding this. What is amazing for me about this man is the fact that he is willing to consult God and to be aware of God no matter what the situation is or no matter what the circumstances are. In my personal life, I can tell you far too often, I will only consult God when it's too late. Far too often, I will go about life and I won't really consult God on a lot of things. I'll just kind of make my own mind up. I'll use my own logic. I'll use my own ideas. And I love how Jehoshaphat has an awareness of who God is. And I love how that awareness drives him to the point where he says, listen, I'm more willing to live my life in such a way where I don't bring God into the picture with everything that I do. I said this in first service as well. So one of the things that used to happen when my granny was still alive, my grandma, is she would sometimes come into the room and she would have her reading glasses on top of her head. And she would come straight to me and my brother, and she would say to us, listen, where have you seen my reading glasses? We would immediately spot her reading glasses on top of her head. And then we would do what two good Christian boys would do, and we tell her that we haven't seen her glasses anyway. And then what would proceed is my grandma would get super aggressive. Man, she could get so aggressive. She would get aggressive, and she would look for her glasses, and we would just sit there and watch this whole... I'm an evil human, just please pray for me. But we would watch this, and it was funny that the reading glasses never left her. It was always with her. It was always there. But what had happened was, is she had lost the awareness of her glasses. The Bible tells us that God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. He's with you in the mundane things. He's with you in the big things. He's with you in the good things. He's with you in the small things. You know what's so amazing for me about God? Is he shows his bigness by the fact that he's in the small things. Man, I'm always amazed by that scripture where it speaks about the fact that God knows you so well that he knows the number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, that number changes daily, right? So, I mean, that's amazing that God is always with us, that he's always there. But I believe, unfortunately, we at times live our lives in such a way that we lose our awareness of God. And in doing so, we do not consult him. We do not bring him into our daily lives. He's there and he's willing, but we lose that awareness. I have realized that what I tend to do in my life is I tend to compartmentalize things. I tend to build beautiful little boxes and beautiful little houses for everything. So, for example, I will have my church Sunday morning house stroke box that I've constructed in my life. And it's a beautiful box. And it looks pretty. And it's got a shabby chicness to it. It's a Pinterest beautiful box. And and this box gets activated on a Sunday morning. And I'm not saying you guys do this. I'm just saying this is kind of what I do sometimes is it's amazing how even the radio station changes on a Sunday, right? Some of you will put on 88.3 ZVC on a Sunday morning on your way to church. All of a sudden, the radio station falls onto that one. All of a sudden, even the way you speak changes. You use the word mountain, anointing, eagle, valley, shadow, river. Amen. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the vocab changes. You see, what you're doing is you're going into Sunday morning box. But man, then there's a couple of other boxes. There is politics box. Good Lord, that's a shaky one right now. There's TV box. Leave me alone. I want to watch TV. There is all these little boxes, but I want to say to you this morning that God's desire, God's heart has never been to be placed in a box. It's never been to be placed in a room. It's never been to be held captive in a building. God does not live in this building. God is not only accessible on a Sunday morning. He wants to infiltrate your entire life. He wants to be a part of all of it. You know, it's funny for me that sometimes we speak about having quiet time, and it's good, and it's great, and it's amazing. We need to have quiet time. We need to set aside time for the Lord. But you know what's even greater? Being aware of Him in everything that we do. Imagine how your life would change if there was an awareness of this amazing God that lives on the inside of you, even when you're angry, even when you're happy. The other thing that I've come to realize, and I want to say this about Jehoshaphat, which I love here, and as King Ahab calls in Jehoshaphat, and he says to Jehoshaphat, listen, man, we've got to go to war, and we've got to go now. One of the things that Jehoshaphat does is he says, hey, let's just pause our plans here, and let's bring in God, and let's consult with the prophets, and let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait and see if this is, in fact, what God wants us to do. I don't know about you, but there is nothing I despise more than waiting. I cannot stand waiting. It's like time has become my most valuable commodity. It's funny, I was at the daddy-daughter dance last night, and it was wonderful. Man, I'm the best dancing dad in town. Pastor Zach was pretty good this morning, though. And I was there, and all of a sudden they start playing this song, and it's an evil song. I hate this song. I don't know why they're allowed to play it, but it's something about butterfly kisses, and at midnight something's going to happen, and my daughter's going to grow up, and she's going to leave, and she's going to marry some punk, and he's going to take her away, and that's what's going to happen. And I rebuke that. I come against that this morning in Jesus' name. This is not going to happen. My beautiful babies are going to love me, and they're going to stay with me, and they're never going to leave. And if they do get married, the guys will love me. They are going to love me. And I've got all kinds of ideas. We'll just buy a big plot of land, and there'll be little houses, and we'll all be together. You know, we'll figure out a bathroom situation, and maybe we'll cook together. They're never leaving, okay? So this song is lies, okay? But it's amazing that since I've had kids, and I don't know if you're like this as well, but since I've had children, I've become more aware of time in my life. Yeah. It's like as I see them grow, as I see them develop, I remember them all as babies, and now I see them and they've grown up and they're doing things and they're saying things and they're understanding things. And every time I see it, it's a reminder to me of how old I feel I'm getting. And it's terrifying. So time has become my number one commodity. I want to say this to you. If you are committed to living a life rooted in God's truth, there is going to have to come a point where you are okay with waiting on the Lord. I will say to you, in my life, I've come to realize that very often I would rather be wrong immediately than waiting to be right later on, okay? I want things to happen now. I want things to work itself out now. When we are patient, really what we're doing is we're saying, God, I trust you not only with my time, but I trust you with my future. And I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that. Patience this morning is a fruit of saying, God, I don't only trust you in all these other areas of my life, but I trust you with my time and I trust you with my future. And I love how Jehoshaphat takes time out and he says, listen, we're going to pause proceedings. Even though this seems like a straightforward thing, I will not move forward without God's presence in my life, without God's guidance in my life, and I'm willing to wait if that's what it takes to get there. So look at what happens here. So we carry on here. So verse 8. So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one prophet, though whom through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. This is incredible. Because he never prophesies good things about me. This is a real story. But always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. And I mean, I'm going to pause you again. I love this. So Jehoshaphat is pressing the king and he's saying, listen, you got your 400 guys in here. They all agree with you. Don't you love making an argument and only having people in the room to argue with that agree 100% with your argument? That's such an effective way of coming to a conclusion. But I love how there's one more guy, Micaiah. We've got to call him in. And the king goes, you know what? I don't want to call him in. He is a vibe killer. I hate this guy. Like, every time he comes in, he tells me that my plans aren't good and God's not for it. And now I have to bring him in. And it's an incredible moment in the story. I want to say this to you this morning, that God's truth is not always comfortable in our lives. God's truth will not always be comfortable in our lives. I will tell you that if we ask enough, he will respond and he will answer. But the answer he's going to give you is not always going to be the one that you have figured out in your head or the plan that you have. Sometimes in life, the worst thing that can happen is God can speak when you ask him to speak, right? some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea what you're saying. It can be super uncomfortable when you've got all your little plans made, all your little ducks in a row, and God comes and he just directs you in a bit of a different way. I remember a couple of years ago, there was this guy, and we were in a prayer group, and we were standing in the circle, and we were doing the thing where everybody had to say their prayer requests, and then they were going to elect people to pray out loud for the different needs. And I was standing there, and at that point, I really did not like praying in public. So I did what a lot of you do, is as they were anointing and appointing people to pray, I closed my eyes and pretended like I was already praying, like interceding for the whole group. Didn't work. They still picked me. And basically what they did is they said to me, listen, this guy's got real financial needs. Why don't you pray for him? At this point in my life, I was on a great saving streak. It's the hottest streak I've ever been on from a savings point of view. I think it was like 3 months of saving. It was amazing. I was disciplined. I was focused. I was saving for something. Can't remember what it was, but I was so excited about my savings. And anyways, it's my turn and I pray for this guy and it was a gorgeous prayer. I must tell you, it just stands out even to this day. It had everything, this prayer. It had drama. It had a bit of a comedy in it. There was a scripture or two. I think I even threw in there a Spider-Man quote. Great power does not come without great responsibility. I mean, this prayer had it all, right? It was so good. It was so amazing. Everybody was pumped. And I left the prayer circle thinking, man, this guy's needs are going to be met. Amazing. And, you know, Pastor Zach spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that little nagging voice that comes, right? And it's like, no, just leave me alone. Don't, just leave me. I'm in my groove right now. And I just felt such a sense of, hey, listen, so this amazing other person you're praying for to come and meet these guys' needs, you have an amazing savings account set up with amazing finances that will beautifully meet this person's need. So what if you are the answer that you were praying for? And I'm like, God, I'm never the answer. Like, I'm absolutely, I am the personification of the question. I am never the answer to anybody's prayers. And how this, it just didn't leave. And eventually I had to basically clear out my savings account and help this guy. But I want to say this to you. God will speak. It won't always be what we want him to say. The other thing I want to say to you about this is that when we are called of God to stand for truth and to stand for him, man, his truth will always lead to freedom. It will always lead to boldness, but it will not always lead to being popular. God's truth will not always make you popular. And I know that for some of us, that is the most important thing, right? We want to be popular. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. But unfortunately, that's just not always going to be the case. And there are going to be times where the best thing you can do, that love takes on the form at times in your life of speaking the truth when nobody wants to. Speaking the truth to that friend or to that loved one or to that person or to that situation. There are moments where you're not going to win the popularity contest by speaking the truth. But as you can see in Micaiah's life, even though this king hates him, this guy is willing to speak the truth no matter how unpopular it makes him. So we're going to keep on reading here. So they bring in Micaiah. They want to speak to this guy. Jehoshaphat says, listen, I'll go to war with you, but I need to get a confirmation from God. The 400 prophets have said all kinds of things. So now they bring him in. Verse 12, I'm going to skip a couple and read from verse 12 here. It says this. So all the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth of Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, this is classic. I mean, just check this out. So now the guy they've sent to go fetch him, listen to what he does. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, look, the other prophets without exception are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. Okay, so I'm gonna use political speak here. Here's the lobbyists, right, coming in now, basically telling this guy, this is what we need you to say. This is how this needs to work. The king is happy with us, he's pleased, we're on our way to big Christmas bonuses and raises, all of us. There's a feast prepared. We need you this one time to play ball and to tell the guy to go to war. That's all we're asking of you. Don't make any problems. So Micaiah comes in and he says this. Verse 14, but Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. Man, I love this guy. Okay, so check this. Verse 15. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not? And this is what he says. Attack and be victorious, he answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. So he's actually agreeing with the king here. So the king, so shocked by this, turns around and says this. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So I love this. The king has a relationship with this guy to the point where he knows already, there's no way this guy's going to agree with me. There's absolutely no way. So Micaiah says to him, yeah, man, go to war. It's all going to work out. And the king's like, no. I actually don't believe you. I need you to clarify this. It's a little bit like when I say to my wife, can I go play golf on a Saturday? And her immediate response is, yes, my sweetie, go. Typically, I know that she probably misheard me, so I have to later on go do the second question. I've got to clarify, I've got to ask again, and if she says a second time yes, it's good to go, but if I just ask once and she says yes, it's probably because she misheard me. So that's what's going on here. He says to this guy, hey, are we good to go? And he says yes. So listen to this, and this is where the king's nightmares come true. Micaiah finally speaks the truth. Micaiah answered, I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me? Only bad stuff. You know, I love how King Ahab is like, I warned you, this guy is a problem. He's always pulling down the vibe, and now he's done it again. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but what happens is the king ignores Micaiah and he decides that he is going to go to war anyways. It doesn't matter what Micaiah says. And the story ends with the king actually dying, and it's not a good situation. So I want to speak a little bit just about two things that really stuck out at me when I read this story. The first one, and I'll get to this at the end, is I want to be like Micaiah. I want to be the kind of Christian in this generation that is like Micaiah. I want to be somebody that stands for truth in the middle of all kinds of adversity. I want to have the boldness that this guy had. And we're going to speak about how we get to that point in a little bit. But the second thing I thought to myself was, well, this is second best. If I can't be like Micaiah, man, I really want a Micaiah in my life, right? If I can't be him, then I definitely want him to be a part of my life. And it's amazing to me how King Ahab is in a place in his life where he has access to a man that can hear God's voice so clearly, and a man that can help him with decisions in regards to his future, in regards to his present, in regards to what he should do. I mean, isn't that amazing? This guy cannot stand Micaiah, but he's got access to this amazing guy. And this is where the title of my sermon comes in. I want to say this to you. I believe more than ever that we are living in times right now where we need a Micaiah. Amen. We need the voice of God in our lives. We need a truth in the midst of no other truth. We in this postmodern society where truth is no longer an absolute, where truth is however you feel on the day, where truth is whatever you think it should be in the moment, Jesus comes and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. There is nothing more solid than that. There is nothing more anchored than that. And as I was reading this, I thought to myself, man, it's so easy to go through life and to get confused with all the prophets, all the voices, all the things constantly telling us, constantly tugging at us. I was thinking to myself, man, we need a Micaiah. I need a Micaiah in my life that can go, hey, I know the way, I know the direction, I know God's heart on this thing. Man, there comes a point in your life where Siri just isn't enough. There comes a point in your life where Google just isn't enough. Like, I Googled one time, and my daughter's a teenager now, and man, she's amazing, and I love her, and she's awesome. But when she first started going into this teenager phase, I don't know what you would call this phase. It's a phase, I think. I remember Googling one day, what is happening to my 13-year-old daughter? And Google basically responded with, I don't know, buddy. Like, I could tell you how long the Great Wall of China is, but I don't have answers for you on this one, right? I remember once speaking to Siri, just saying to Siri, Siri, what's the point of my life? Just give me a bit of direction today. And Siri basically responded with, I can't help you, but I can tell you where the closest McDonald's is. And I then went and had some McDonald's. I'm working very hard on my physique. So there comes times in our lives where the information available, your friends, your history, your culture, technology, it cannot give you the answers you're looking for. It cannot give you the truth that you're looking for. There's a truth that defines who we are. There's a truth that gives us direction. There's a truth that gives us joy and that gives us peace. And all the noise and all the things that are going on, all the busyness cannot give us that truth. So I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about Micaiah, and as I was thinking about, man, I wish I had a Micaiah, I remembered this piece of scripture. I'm going to read it to you this morning, and it's so beautiful. It's John 16, verses 7 to 15, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And listen to what Jesus says to his disciples here this morning. He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away." What? How? How is it good? How is it good that Jesus is going away? This man changed history. This man changed their lives. He said to them, "Follow me and I will define you. Follow me and I will give you significance. I will save you." Jesus is their leader. Jesus is their everything. I mean, I think if there's one thing I've thought so many times in my Christian walk is, man, how cool would it be to sit with Jesus face to face and just get a bit of interview time with Jesus? And I read this piece of scripture where Jesus says to his disciples, "Listen, man, it's actually for your good that I leave." And I think to myself, how is that even possible? But listen to what he goes on to say here. This is so incredible this morning. "But very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now." I want to tell you something. Jesus is not done speaking. Listen to this morning. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and what he will make known to you." And I read this piece of scripture, and again, it just came to my realization that, hey, as much as we need a Micaiah in our lives, we got something a little bit better. We have got the Spirit that spoke to Micaiah. The same voice that spoke to Micaiah lives on the inside of you and me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And He's alive, and He is willing, and He wants to be in relationship with us, and He wants to infiltrate every aspect of our lives. He is in us, and He wants to lead us, and He wants to guide us. As much as it would be great to have a Micaiah, we have something so much greater. We have something so much better. And I want to say to you this morning that the Holy Spirit, it's His job to glorify the Son. It's His job to always point us back to Jesus. I love how Jehoshaphat says to the king, "I will not do anything further unless we consult God." And then Micaiah comes in and he actually gives the king the truth. I want to tell you that what we have in the Holy Spirit does both. The Holy Spirit will not just always bring back to your remembrance who you are in Christ and who He is and what He has done. He will come and He will remind you of your righteousness in Him. He will come and He will point back to who Christ is. And not only will He do that, but He will lead you into all truth. It's His job in our lives to constantly be reminding us that, hey, we don't have to do this by ourselves. We don't have to plot and plan by ourselves, but we have Christ in our lives that wants to be a part of everything. Claire, I want you to stand up quickly. Just give everybody a wave. Hello. Okay. The cards. Okay, you can sit up. Who of you were aware of Claire before I just called Claire out? Some of you, oh no, don't lie to me. All of you, you were all sitting here thinking Claire is sitting in the front row before I called it out. Okay, well, okay, you're aware of her in that you know about her, but I bet you weren't thinking about her before I called her out. The minute I called her out, you started thinking about Claire, and right now you're thinking about Claire. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and He calls us in those moments and He points back to Christ. Claire is Christ in this example, and He shows us the finished work of Jesus. I want to ask you this morning as we wrap up, who's speaking into your life? What prophets are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? Do you have the Holy Spirit as your guide? Do you have God's Word as your guide? Do you have a community and a family of Christians in your life that at times will be the Holy Spirit's voice in your life? Or are you listening to the culture that you're in? I want to tell you something about the culture we're in now. The culture we're in right now does not recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. The culture we are in right now says that we can be our own Lord and our own Savior. We are in a self-help culture. It's all about redefining yourself. It's all about helping yourself. I want to tell you the problem with self-help. You're always being helped by a person that desperately needs help, right? All problems begin when we try to manufacture and produce stuff by ourselves. I said this in the first service, and I'll say this again. Sin happens when we try to manufacture God's promises by ourselves without Him. It is when we try to produce peace without the Holy Spirit. That's when we get into trouble. It's when we try to produce and manufacture things outside of Him that we get ourselves into trouble. Allow Him to infiltrate your life. Allow Him to knock on the door and say, hey, you don't have to do this by yourself. You've got Jesus in your life. Are you listening to your past this morning? Is your past constantly coming and reminding you of what you did and who you were? I want to say to you this morning, don't allow your past to be the prophet that speaks into your life. Don't allow your past to be the thing that defines you. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and to constantly remind you of not what you did in your past, but what Christ did on the cross. It is important this morning that we have an awareness of who Christ is in our lives. It is important this morning that we are open to the Holy Spirit and to God's Word, that we allow Him to infiltrate every area. I want to focus on one last thing this morning, and then we're done. And this is the conclusion. The question remains, how do I become bold like Micaiah? How can I become a person that will stand for truth like Micaiah did? And the answer this morning is that the beginning of standing starts with hearing. You can't stand for truth if you don't know the truth. You can't shout from the rooftops if you haven't first heard the truth. It all starts in the beginning by hearing Him. And I want to say this to you. When we live in God's truth, when we hear God's truth, when we allow God's truth to infiltrate our lives, the result, the product of that will be a boldness that is a nation-shaking boldness. When you know who you are in Him, when you understand that you belong to Him, when you understand that you are His and He is yours, I want to tell you something. You're not afraid of anybody anymore. Because if my God is for me, then who can possibly be against me? I remember asking my wife one time, what are some of the characteristics of somebody that can really sing well? And she said something to me that kind of caught me off guard. She said, if you want to be a good singer, you've got to be a good listener. You can't sing well if you can't hear anything going on. That's why monitors are so important. If you can't hear yourself, you can't sing well. Standing for truth begins with hearing the truth. If you don't hear it, you can't stand for it. I heard a preacher say this once, and then I'm going to wrap up this morning. He said this, Jesus never taught His disciples how to preach, but He did teach them how to pray. Because it's when you hear Him that you can start to declare Him. It's in the hearing and it's in the being rooted in His truth that we can stand for truth. Our scripture for the morning is this, 1 John 4 verses 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And this morning I want to say this to you. The Bible declares, and it's such a beautiful thing that it says, it does not say that God has love. The Bible says that God is love. And if God's presence and the awareness of His presence infiltrates our lives as we do our little daily things, as we go about, it's that love that will ultimately cast out all fear and all doubt and all those things. It is as we experience His presence in our lives, His love in our lives, His forgiveness in our lives, that will produce a boldness that will allow us to stand in the midst of all kinds of pressure and declare that we know who our God is, and we know who He's called us to be. Amen. Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray this morning, and then we're going to take some communion. And we had such a beautiful, powerful time of communion this morning, and I really believe that God is going to do something special in this space as we commune this morning. Father, we just want to thank You this morning for Your presence in this place, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your truth in our lives, Father. Father, this morning, I thank you so much that the veil is torn, Lord. You do not live in a building or in a room, but you reside in us this morning, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are a whisper away. And this morning, Lord, I don't know what people are going through in this place. I don't know what they're struggling with. I don't know what's holding them back. I don't know what they're wrestling with. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your name is greater than any other name in this place. I thank you, Lord, this morning that every knee shall bow to your name, Lord. And Father, this morning as we worship you in this place, as we take communion this morning, as we become aware of your love and your grace and your forgiveness in our lives, Lord, I thank you, Father, that that produces a healing in our lives this morning. I thank you, Father, that produces a boldness in our lives this morning, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for who you are in this place. Let us pray this morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.